few days has been young people, youth. And I know that we have some wonderful and precious young people around here. And every one of them has great potential. Every one of them, God wants to use them. And I was reading about Daniel. I just mentioned a little bit Sunday night, but I want to read these verses. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 1, if you'll follow along with me. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And when they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans, the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. There's a whole lot in those few verses that describe the situation. I see a real parallel between what was going on in Judah and what's going on in our country right now. And the great changes that are being made. And I understand there was rebellion. When I was in school in the 60s and the 70s, there were uprisings and there was rebellion that was going on. But we're living in a time now, we're at a different level, and it is so far-reaching, it is touching so many people, and even our youth. And Isaiah 59 really describes what is happening in our nation right now. Judgment is turned away backward. This is Isaiah 59 and verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward. Isn't that true? The judgment has been reversed. Everything is backward from what it should be. Righteousness is turned around, and everything is opposite of the way that it should be. Judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street. That's the most incredible thing to me, that people lie and don't care to lie, even know they're lying, and lie anyway. That's just the world we're living in right now. Truth has fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Verse 15, yea, truth falleth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Have you read that verse before? The person that decides, I'm not going to do evil, I'm going to go the other direction, I'm going to follow after God, it says he makes himself a prey, or he's the one that's that is under being judged and being blamed and being accused. He makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. That's what we're dealing with in our nation right now. And a nation that's gone completely crazy. And it almost seems like it's happened overnight, but it hasn't been overnight. It has been a very, very gradual move in the direction that we have found ourselves. And we kind of nod off, go to sleep, and all of this creeps in and gets a foothold, and that's the spirit of the times that we're living in right now. Now, Jeremiah was a prophet to the people in Judah and Jerusalem and Judah before the Babylonian captivity, and he spent his entire ministry was warning them. You can put his words, his prophecies into a little nutshell and just a few words, and it was just beware. He warned them, beware, if you keep going in a way that is unrighteous, you will face judgment. And all through Jeremiah's ministry, he wasn't received, he was hated, he was despised, he was imprisoned, he was thrown into a cistern, he was mistreated again and again and again. It was just because he was warning them. And I mentioned this the other night, how important it is that we pay attention to warnings, that we listen to those that God might use in our lives to warn us. A nation right now that is running toward judgment as fast as they can go. It's our responsibility as the church, as Christians, as preachers, to herald the warning of the times that we're in right now. Sad to say, they did not listen to the warnings. If they did, they completely ignored them. They denied what he was saying. And eventually, exactly what he said happened. The Babylonian armies came in. They swept in. They tore down the walls. They slaughtered thousands of people. They destroyed the temple. And they stole away captives. And their primary, now they came about three different times into Jerusalem to pick up more prisoners and to carry them away. But in their first time that they came into the city, they stole away these young people who were had such great potential in their lives. And their goal was to teach them. They were going to give them 3 years to learn the language, 3 years to take in all the culture of the Babylonians, and to follow after their religion and their ideas. They took the gold out and the various vessels out of the temple and took it into their temples to desecrate them in these false pagan temples. And their whole goal was completely transform them. They wanted them speaking the language, their language. They wanted them eating their diet. They wanted them to believe what they believed. And they gave them 3 years to train them and to lead them. As I mentioned briefly Sunday night, Daniel went to Babylon as a kid, just maybe 16, 17 years old. And he never went back to Jerusalem. He lived out his life in Babylon. That was where he lived, and he was buried in Babylon. And we probably would think, how horrible that that could ever happen. But God had a plan for Daniel's life. God had a plan for him, even as a young person. And there is enough of the truth of God's word instilled into the heart of Daniel, that whenever he was put into a position to have to cave in and to go and to eat the diet of the Babylonians and to follow in their way, The Bible says he purposed in his heart. He's just a young person, but he purposed in his heart. Now, we have a responsibility with our youth, and that is to instill something in their lives, in their hearts, that is so strong, that is so powerful, that they can't get away from it. Even if America turns into a modern-day Babylon, we're not far from there. Even if we turn into that kind of a place, that there would be young people raised up in our families, raised up in our church, raised up in our youth groups, and that something is so instilled in them that no matter what the world intimidates them with, that they're like Daniel. They take the courage to stand against what is going on. They stole away, notice, certain children of Israel, of the king's seed, of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. This was going to be the choice, quality youth. That's who they chose. You know, the enemy, he puts his eyes on the youth that are raised up in Christian families, raised up in a Pentecostal church, experiencing that kind of Pentecostal experiences, and the enemy targets them. He targets them. He is after the heart of young folks. Not that he's not after every age group, because he is, but I think that he puts his target upon the youth because he knows that they have their life before them and they have potential, and they are, even though they're young, they're choice, they have all these wonderful qualities. They are pure, they have no blemish in them, they are favored of the Lord, and they have a lot to offer, a lot to offer. And the world is after them. The world is pursuing them. They want your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren. It's the enemy that is after them. And they may be put in a position, we don't know how things are going to go in the United States of America, but they may be placed in a circumstance where they're living in a place like Babylon. And they have to have something put in their heart, something instilled in them that they cannot get away from it. Amen. That they can't get away from what the Lord has put in their hearts. Amen. And I believe it's really important that we pray that our young people have a real born-again experience when they're really young. Young. That they get filled with the Spirit when they're really young. And that they begin to search out their purpose and their goals and their callings when they're still young, so that they will not be caught up in the trap of the world. Amen. Amen. Daniel was stolen away to Babylon. He never returned, but he made his mark. He made his mark even down there in Babylon. Whoever the king was, and there were several that he served under. But Daniel made such a mark that he purposed in his heart. Daniel had courage and he had convictions. He had convictions. He purposed in his heart. And I'm sure he understood that not obeying this Babylonian king, not doing what he wanted them to do, that he was putting his life on the line, but he was a young man with courage and with conviction. And No doubt, there were influencers in his life when he was young that instilled these principles in him. So whenever he came face to face with the decision, am I going to comply? Am I going to go along? Am I going to just cave in to what they're telling me that I need to do? No. Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He wasn't going to defile himself with the king's meat. He wasn't going to defile himself with the king's wine. He was not going to, wasn't going to go along. I thank God for people with conviction and courage. And many times, young people are faced with the challenge. Boy, I remember it as a young person being really put on the spot, really being put under tremendous pressure. But the Lord was merciful and helped us during those challenging times. But America is quickly becoming a Babylon. We're quickly moving toward paganism. And there has to be a church and a people of God that during this time that we are serious about instilling spiritual values into our young people. Amen. Praise God. I believe that God can help us to do that. So we need to make that a matter of prayer. When you're praying, be sure that you pray for all these wonderful kids, young people that we have around here, a big group of them that are right here in our church, and we want them to know God. We want them to know the truth. We want it to be instilled in their hearts so that they never stray away from it, no matter how much pressure is put on them. Amen. This king, he had a strategy and a plan, and his plan was, I want them to learn the language. I want them to learn to love the food. I want them to learn everything. They changed their names. They changed their clothing. They changed everything about them to make them fit in with the Babylonians. Wanted them to learn things, their science, and instill all of these things in them. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. And he came up with an amazing, no doubt this was a God-given plan. Just feed his pulse for 10 days and then put it to the test. See how we do. Vegetarian diet, a Daniel diet. And that's what they ate. They put it to the test. And you know the story. They looked better than all the others. They looked stronger. And their faces were fat. And they looked so much better that they flipped that thing around so that all the rest of that group that was with them, they had to eat what Daniel and those three were eating. Amen. Now that's what God can do with people who are people of conviction. God can use you to not only cave in to the pressures of the world, but to flip things around, to turn things around to where you are an influencer for the kingdom of God, even though you're down in Babylon. Amen. Oh, we need to pray for our young people. We need to lift them up in prayer. They are under pressures. You think, oh, what kind of pressure could they be under? They're in good homes. They're good. Many of them in a good Christian school. Many of them are in church. But they're under pressure. It's a great deal of pressure. The pressure is pouring in upon them, trying to influence them. We need to pray for them. Amen. Praise God. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. At the end thereof, they might stand before the king. They had to, after 3 years. Well, everybody. And you know, when you read through Daniel and read about Daniel, you know that he became an influencer in every way. When you flip over to chapter 6, the only thing they could find in his life was his consistency, his prayer life, his commitment to God, to his God. That was the only, they were looking for some way to entrap him, and the only thing that they could find in his life was that he was consistently praying, consistently serving his God. Amen. No matter which king he was under, I think there's like four different ones that he served under, didn't make any difference. Daniel stood his ground. Amen. And God used him. That after those 3 years, everything is flipped. And he becomes the influencer. They brought all those in, all those young people in, and the goal was influence them to become Babylonians. Let's influence them in every way that we possibly can. But instead, God flipped it around and Daniel becomes the influencer. Praise God. Amen. So wherever you are, even if it's in a place like Babylon, you can still serve God and live for God. And Daniel had purposed to carry his principles, his convictions, no matter where that he was. Amen. It says in Daniel chapter 6 that Daniel was put into a position. God so used him and so honored him that God put him into a position of even greater power and influence. Praise God. He stood for what was right, and God began to use him in a place of great influence. It says in verse 1 of chapter 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these, over the 120, there were to be 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was number one. Praise God. God put him in that position because he stood for what was right. So they asked, why would you choose this one, Daniel, to be the number one, in the number one influencer in the kingdom? Well, it says he had an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Wow. Amen. So Daniel's determination to stand for what was right put him in a position to be of greater impact, greater influence. Amen. So I'll just say again, we got to pray for our young people. We've got to pray for these young folks that God would put in them something of conviction and courage and just a determination to follow the Lord and the things of the Lord. The only thing Daniel could be found guilty of was his faithful serving God. The only thing. In him there was nothing. Nothing. They had to make laws to make it illegal for you to pray and to serve the only true God. And they set a trap. And even in this trap, God demonstrated his power in such a mighty way for Daniel. Praise the Lord. And used him in such a wonderful way. And all those that set the trap for him, they got caught in their own trap. Amen. They got caught in their own trap. So, Babylon, we may be headed that direction. Things are moving quickly toward a pagan, ungodly, godless world and country. I pray that it doesn't happen. I pray that we can experience revival. We're praying for that. We're believing for a mighty move of God across this nation. But as we move further and further in that direction, there's going to have to be something in our hearts of strength and confidence and courage to stand for what's right, even in the midst of a modern-day Babylon. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for all of our young people. Amen. We have, when they're all here, man, we have a big group of them. And they're all, each one of them, gifted, precious. They're just like these that they wanted to change and they wanted to influence. We need to pray for them that God would give to them a real purpose and a real conviction in their heart to stand for God and to serve the Lord with their whole heart. Amen. Amen. We're praying about a lot of different things, but take these young folks to heart and pray for them. Could we stand together tonight? And let's pray. Amen. For your sons and daughters, for all of the young folks that are a part of this church, that God would just put something in them, instill something in them of courage and conviction. Praise God. Let's pray for them tonight. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have, Lord, to serve you. And I pray, Lord, for all of these young folks, Lord, from those that are in their teens and even on down the younger ones, Lord, I know that they can be saved while they're very young. They can be filled with the Spirit while they're very young. They can get a hold of the call of God and the purpose of God for their life while they're very young. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to be a church that provides a place for these young folks to get a hold of God. Lord, that we're supporting them and praying for them and surrounding them, Lord, so that they could find their place in the kingdom. Lord, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Every one of our young people, Lord, all the way down to the younger children, do a work in them as well, Lord. Cause them to be stirred in their hearts toward you, Lord, we pray. And I know, Lord, we are living in a season right now, and there's a lot going on in our world, a lot that opposes God, it opposes the Bible. But Lord, we just need your touch, your help, your mighty power, Lord, to be real in our lives so that we can influence so many of these young folks, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.